Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, I think this is the perfect story for this midpoint in our Lenten journey, this story about learning to see, this story about Jesus' power, this story that implies that perhaps some of our brokenness is difficult even for Jesus Christ, but none of it is impossible in the end. There's the story for the day. My sermon's over. Thank you very much. Here's the thing. We enter into Lent, I think, in a sort of a state of spiritual benightedness. Benightedness, great word, isn't it? It's an old word. Benightedness. We are surrounded by darkness. We can't see. The brilliance, you see, of the last Easter morning has succumbed in the intervening months to the shadow distortion of the world around us, the shadow distortion that passes for day-to-day living. The shadow distortion that confuses and blinds and takes us in wrong directions. But if we're paying attention on our Lenten journey, we quickly come face to face with a certain realization, a certain understanding that we have indeed been blinded, that we do indeed not see clearly. Jesus asked the true Lenten question this morning. He asks it of this blind man in the story. He asks it of you, and he asks it of me. The question is this: can you see anything? Can you see anything? On the southward journey here that Jesus is taking us as his disciples on, that southward journey toward Jerusalem, toward that cross, toward some sight, toward some understanding. We pause here in Bethsaida. This is one of the few pauses on this journey. I've told you that. Jesus turns on his heel, as it were, in Caesarea Philippi, clear up in the north out of Israel. When he senses the time is coming, he turns on his heel and he heads purposely south, and he stops all the things that he's been doing. He stops taking time and teaching. He stops taking time and sharing time with people. He leads his disciples with intentionality, due south, teaching them the whole way. But this is one of those exceptions, and that's worth thinking about. Why did Jesus pause for this guy? And why did it take two applications? Great questions. I'll leave them with you. So we're on this southward journey. We arrive at Bethsaida, and the folks bring this sightless man to him. And Jesus' heart is just too large to say no. Jesus' heart is too large to say, I'm busy. Jesus' heart is too large to say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for this. I'm on a mission here. He embraces the man. And I think we should take a moment to appreciate this at great depth, because it's entirely possible, you see, that this blind man is us. And Jesus stops for us. Despite everything that lies before him, Jesus stops for you and for me and for this sightless man, that he might heal us on this Lenten journey, that we might come to that Easter morning with our eyes cleared, with vision to see the brilliance. Thankfully, Jesus lays aside his priorities in this time. Now, that doesn't really surprise us, does it? I mean, we've seen this before. We've seen him drive out demons. We've seen him cure illnesses. We've seen him repair a shriveled hand. Shortly before this story, he opens the ears and loosens the tongue of a deaf mute. This is business as usual for Jesus, but Jesus is not about business as usual on this particular journey. But let's put ourselves in the blind man's shoes. Let's enter into this story for a minute. Let's let this story be us, because I want to suggest to you this story is us. As we sit here this morning, I suspect that many of us, myself included, don't see as clearly as we hopefully will by the time we get to Easter. I wonder what The blind man knows about all this. I wonder what he's thinking. I wonder what he's feeling in this time. I wonder what he's thinking when he feels Jesus' hands on his eyes. What must that be like? Understand, he can't see, right? He doesn't know what this guy looks like. He probably doesn't know much about him. And all of a sudden, here are these hands, right? Let's just imagine that for a moment. Try to put yourself in his place. Because like I said, you just might be. So a friend tugs us, stumbling through the dark, troubling over the rocks in the path because we can't see them, of course. We come through the darkness and we're pushed before this healer who reaches out and touches us. And we have to be thinking after all of this time, oh, what's the use? What's the use? We've been to physicians in the big city before. They couldn't help us. We've been to the local miracle workers before. They couldn't help us. We've had our hopes shattered before. They say this guy's from Nazareth. What could he possibly know? What good could come from Nazareth? That question's been asked earlier. But then there's puncturing our darkness. There's this voice. There's this voice. It's quiet. It's confident. It's warm. It's welcoming. The voice itself is an embrace. And then there's the hand, that hand that reaches out and enfolds ours. It's calloused. It's a working hand, but it's not rough. And it radiates a peculiar power. We can feel it shoot up the palm of our own hand and up our arm. We know that something unusual is happening here. We know that this is not any ordinary person. He hasn't done anything yet, but his presence is oddly comforting. But where's this? He's leading us. He's pulling us aside from everyone else. We can't see. We don't know. We're stumbling. What could this be about? Where's he taking us? What's he going to do with us? Can we trust him? Senses sharpened by years of sightlessness register the passage onto the hard scrabble track and over the stones and finally into like a private area that's a little quieter. Oh, Lord, what have we gotten ourselves into? Where is this guy taking us? Stop. He says, stop. Here. Stop here. Or is it stop and here? Or is it stop and know? Know me. What is it? Confusion sets in. All of a sudden, there's warm moisture on those hands. We don't know what it is. There's warm moisture on those hands as he lays them over our closed eyes. What kind of medicine is this? Can you see anything? The voice asks quietly. Can you see anything? Of course not. Our mind responds before our eyes even dare to open. After all, we've been through this before, right? Of course not. What nonsense question is that? We know about healers, and he really hasn't done anything yet. But then what's this? What is this? A dull light where before there was only darkness. What is this? And what are those? What are those? We can't see clearly, not clearly enough to be sure, but memory says that they're people. Only in the dimness of this new vision, they look like trees walking. Trees walking. Hope quickly yields to bitterness. Oh, this is worse than before. So is this it? Is this as far as this goes? They told me this guy was the Son of God. And this is the best he can do. Trees walking. Disappointment sets in. And perhaps that's where we find ourselves this morning on this Lenten journey. Perhaps we've tried and we've struggled and we've found our knees and we've prayed and we've opened our Bibles and we've sought meditation and quiet time, and perhaps it isn't getting any clearer. Perhaps we're not feeling it, as it were. Maybe that's where we are. If the experience of the past 16 days has opened our eyes to the reality of our blindness, but not yet the possibility of real sight, maybe that's where we are. At this stage, one touch of Jesus into our cure, we intuit the awful fear and the terrible knowledge of a mid-stage Alzheimer's patient who has just enough moments of terrifying lucidity to realize how many hours he has spent in awful oblivion. We pray in desperation, along with that blind man, along with all the sightless souls in the world, Lord, help us. For the love of God, please help us. We want to see. We want to see you. But let's not forget. Let's not give in to desperation. Let's not give in to despair. Not this blind man, not you, not me. We're only halfway through this Lenten journey. We've only had the first application. What's going to happen now? Let's not forget that there's more to this story. That's what gives it its power. Mark's narrative pauses only long enough for Jesus' question and the blind man's answer, "Can you see anything?" But we can imagine how long that frustrating interval must have seemed to the blind man. Maybe even as long as the remaining days of Lent. Then there's the touch again. The touch of those marvelous hands on our eyes. And miracle of miracles, long absent vision is restored. We can see. Only this time it's not dim light that we experience at that first touch. This time it's the dazzling light of resurrection morning when he spreads those same hands even wider to receive those nails. And in that light, my friends, we are forced to see everything clearly. Jesus asked us this Lenten question this morning. Can you see anything? Maybe in the grace of Jesus Christ, we can discern enough by now to see that we have a problem. Perhaps even clearly enough to see that the problem is us. To see that we've not looked to Jesus Christ for life. We've treated him as an option to our lives. To see that our faith is not yet sufficient to fully trust our vision to God. So the blind man's story, you see, it parallels our Lenten journey. So if we see the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives but dimly this morning, if we see people but they look like trees walking, this blind man, his sight fully restored, is here to assure us, to assure you, to assure me that fears, doubt, and blindness are finally no obstacle to the power of Jesus Christ. That Jesus will yet touch us again that we might see the way to the cross. And that we will once more see clearly in that dazzling light of Easter morning. May it be so, Lord. May it be so with us. Amen.